हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Introduction. Sri Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, the teacher of the science of devotional service, wrote several books, of which the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is very famous. Anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna must read this book. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 5203 purport. Yes, so Srila Prabhupada will mention specifically which books of the Acharyas are very important. And generally those are the works that are included in this parallel course, the second course. You know, because then you get the essence of their teaching and you get all the different perspectives that the Acharyas then add to the whole process.
Bhakti,
Bhagavan, and Bhakta. Oh, okay. And therefore, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, all B's. Okay. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, or the great essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, is esteemed as one of the definitive works of the Gaudiya Vaishnava literary canon. Sri Rupa Goswami, who regarded his elder brother Sanatana as his spiritual master, acknowledged an indebtedness to Brihad Bhagavatamrita in his definitive textbook on devotional service, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srimat Prabhu Padambo Jai Sarva Bhagavatam Rite Vyakti Kritasti Gudapi Bhakti Siddhanta Madhuri. Our Divine Master has revealed in his Bhagavatam Rita all the sweet conclusions of devotional philosophy, including its most confidential secrets. As we know, because that's the element, the acharya means is that there is the knowledge is given, but then there's also the secrets, the rahasya. Right? Because the upadhyaya teaches knowledge, the knowledge itself, the technique, you know, the knowledge and skills required to do. But then the point is the acharya gives that principal element, the essential element. That's the difference between acharya and upadhyaya. Does that make sense? So, all it means Brahmins are respected, so therefore the teacher is respected. But if they're teaching material knowledge, then they're respected. But more than that is those who teach spiritual knowledge, and more than that is those who reveal the essence of that. Of course, you could take it that spiritual knowledge is the essence, so therefore anybody who's preaching that gets to that. But we take our lead in this from the acharyas. Right? That's what puts them in that position. Because they show all the very, very, secret elements that are going on there. You know, different acharyas bring out different aspects. So Sanatana Goswami brings out the Sambandha aspect. You know, what's the actual nature of the devotee, the Lord, devotional service. Right? Could also do it. Seva, Savya, Seva. Yeah, three S's. Three S's, two B's, or three B's and two B's. Okay. Yes.
So, I seem to remember somebody said that rishis, or be a rishi, you have to have your own opinion.
Munis.
Muni, that's a muni.
Muni, you have to have your own opinion.
And this is what we're talking about, the essence or bringing out a certain aspect, or?
Not so much. I mean, yeah, generally it's the Muni element is within the material world. You have your perspective, just like you have some great authority, you know, in the conference. It's because they have their own perspective. So that would be seen as the Muni aspect. But at the same time, as you could say that the Acharyas, because they're all dealing in transcendence, so they bring out a unique aspect. Then you could say in that way they are Munis. Mm. Like that. You could say. Turn on this light.
Light?
Please. So otherwise it's not quite... You can sit on the...
I know. My son's going to be done at any moment and I'll have to...
But you could sit on the rug anyway.
I'm like the same level as you?
No, not exactly. Choosing an alternative route. Okay. As we know, Srimad Bhagavatam embodies the essence of the Vedas. The scripture named Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. He delivered it to his son, who is the most respected amongst the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.41. Right, so there's always the element of extracting to get to what's essential. One is essential means it's about Krishna and devotees' devotional service in Krishna. But the other is then also what is working for the particular audience.
Yes.
Right? Like that. So you always have to get those to match. Yes.
Who was Sanatana Goswami's audience then? Who is
it's basically the Vaishnavas. Like that. He's writing for the Vaishnavas. Jiva Goswami, he would specialize in writing for those who are not necessarily like that. You know, like in the Sandarbhas, which is for the devotees, but the Tattva Sandarbha addresses anything that might not be devotional. Like that. Doesn't that make sense? Because in those days, the community was all together, the Vaishnav community. So it's only with Bhaktivinoda Thakur that you had to deal with a different culture. Because up to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you had one culture being practiced. Many philosophies, but one culture. So the approach that if you gave Vedic authority, use the grammatical explanations, you do all these things, it worked for everybody. But then the difficulty came. See. They go home early.
Yes.
Oh, okay. From the new crew. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of them. It's a whole army this year. Like that. Like that. They have their own separate arrangement because the train. No. I'm saying all of them are in their own training, and then everybody will be integrated into the other system. So they have. I think most of the senior boys are all just taken care of. Like that. Yes, so then extracting this essential point, that's what's unique, because the Vedic literature is discussing basically about Krishna and all his different aspects. But because those aspects are being discussed through the secondary symptoms, right, of the material forms and activities, then generally it's not caught. Like people will study Ayurveda, they don't think that this has connection to Krishna. Or Jyotish, or Vastu, or these are just seen in their own categories. You know, like you study anything in the material sphere, occupational sphere. It's just its own thing. So it's seen like that. So you can get that. Even the scholars in the Vedic lines, they may make the same mistake, which is common. So that's why it's unique. That's why Narad Muni is, because his philosophy that's unique from everybody else is pure devotional service. Because the other sages, they're coming up with something else. Right? Logic, atomic theory, Shankya, like this. But he's bringing pure devotional service. Right? So it's not even devotional service for material gain. It's just pure devotional service. So that's the uniqueness. So he's preaching Naishkarmya and this and Pancharatra. So that's what makes him in a unique position. And so we see that's what we're following. Right? We have a Pancharatric lifestyle that the results of our activities are for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So we're following in that line. That's our, you could say, our scholastic line is Narad Muni.
Describe him as being in Shanta Raj, yes?
Shanta? What? I've always heard Dasya.
Oh.
Shanta.
Yeah.
Shukadev and Narayana
and
Shanta.
Oh, okay.
That's what.
Okay. So is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem. it's just funny, you know, because sometimes we describe Shanta Raj as not actually being devotional.
No, we don't say it's not devotional. We don't say it's... We don't bring out the element of rasa so strongly. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's counted as devotional. Yeah. You have to do that. But Rupa Goswami, when you're talking about the dynamics of rasa, you don't find it all manifest within Shanta. Shanta is there, but it doesn't have as much depth as you will see, because it'll only come up to prema. It won't go beyond that. But you see, in these other rasas, then it'll have other aspects of going to sneha and all these other things like that. Does that make sense? So, but the, you know, all the cows, they're shantaras, the trees, the parrot, everybody's shantaras, like that. The shantaras also has the element is that they appreciate rasa. So then that gives Narad Muni that freedom to move anywhere in any realm and appreciate what's going on. Because those from Vaikuntha, they prefer Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Right? Those from Dwarka prefer Dwarka, but he being in Shantaras can appreciate any of it. Like that. Because it's just, the grounding is just appreciation. Does that make sense? So that gives him that freedom to move throughout the universe. But you also have the element is that it's not that the origin doesn't go back to him. It means it starts there, it doesn't go back. Because then it goes back to you know, some say that Maru Mangal, his expansion is Narad Muni. Does that make sense? Yes.
I hear Sukadev Goswami is coming from Goloka.
Sukadev, yes. Yes.
And how he is presenting himself for... I just heard that he's in Shantaras at the same time. How is that?
At the same time as what?
Just come to my... put it this way. Sukadev Goswami is a portion of Sukadev Goswami.
A portion of Sukadev Goswami is a portion.
Entering in the pastime of the Lord, like this, as a son of yesterday for a particular purpose.
Okay.
Not the fully
Sugar Goswami,
like
Nitya
Siddha, Prem, coming from Goloka.
Yeah, the same person.
The same person.
Yeah.
He's presenting himself in that
Shantaras,
not in...
No, but see, Goloka means you have all five rasas. Right? Vrindavan is famous for cows, right? And for forest. But all those cows and all those trees, they're all Shantaras. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Every single living entity in Goloka, they have prema.
Prema is there. They're on the level of prema. But what we're saying is it's not dynamic in that they're simply appreciating the glories of the Lord, the relationship with the Lord and devotees and all that. So that's the relationship, is appreciation of the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Like you hear, Sukadeva Goswami, Narad Muni, the four Kumaras, right? But they're always discussing the glories of the Lord. They're always seeking out devotee association and discussing these things. You don't hear of them specifically doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Because their devotional expression is appreciation of the Lord and His name, form, qualities, pastimes, associates, dham, everything. Right? Then when that deepens, then there's dasya, where they want to do some specific service for the Lord. But here is, he can appreciate anything. So that's the one aspect that makes it nice. Then he can go anywhere and everything like that, because he's not part of anybody else's scene. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like Narad Muni spends some time in Rukmini's palace and then spends some time in Satyabhama's palace. Is there going to be any problem? No, because he's not of that social scene. You know what I'm saying? So that you could say is the advantage of neutrality, is that the preaching element and all that, then is very nice. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you don't have to worry that somebody's not in a rasa that you expect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Madhavendra Puri. He's known that, you know, really being able to appreciate and know the conjugal rasa. But he is the kalpavriksha tree that Radha Govinda sit under. Therefore, he's privy to all their discussions and pastimes and moods and activities. Therefore, he knows so much. But as a kalpavriksha tree, that's Shantaras. You know, so here you see very major personalities in our line. So Madhavendra Puri, Narad Muni, you know, Shukadev Goswami, like that, here from the Kumaras. So it's all Shantaras. So it's not a problem.
It's interesting when we hear the Babaji is talking about only Madhurya Rasa. And then you have some of these who actually bring out the Madhurya Rasa. They're in Shantaras.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point, is because they're appreciating. So they can appreciate any Rasa. It's not that someone in the other rasas also can't appreciate all the rasas, but they have their specific services and involvement to be in. Well, Shantaras, their you could say their service is discussing and appreciating the Lord's glories. You know, therefore, then their ideal in this way of being in a position that everybody can appreciate their instructions. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
It seems that it is the majority of the living entities are in Shantaras.
The majority of the living entities are in Shantaras.
Count like the grass, the trees, the plants.
It wouldn't be good to approach in that way, because you don't have time and space in the spiritual world. You know what I'm saying? You have a rasa dance, there's millions of gopis. You know. But, you know, everybody fits and it all works. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't put it like that. Here you can say is it works like that. But in the spiritual world, I wouldn't necessarily put it like that. You know, and even if they are, it doesn't matter. Because the point is that Shantaras, we're not necessarily dealing here with jivas. We take it that everybody's jivas, but you're dealing generally with the internal potency. Right? And then the manifestations of Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. So Sandini manifests all the Shantaras. So then, you know, just as their energy of Lord, then they're individuals, they have their individual consciousness. So it's not a problem. So it's not that the jivas are making up all the those in Shantaras. You know, the does that make sense? Yeah. So those jivas who are interested in that rasa, then it's open. You can be, you know, like that. But otherwise, it's because the situations are always adjusting and changing, so that's taken care of by Yoga Maya. Does that make sense? So she's all that. So that's we don't need to really go to that kind of perspective, because our perspective is inspired by time and space of here. And so we're just looking at volume of space and like that. But over there, it's different. Time and space are simply servants of Krishna. So they're not... The living entities aren't controlled by time and space. You know, it's only an addition to rasa to bring out the flavor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. The ripened fruit of the Vedas was then blended with the nectar from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami and spoken to Maharaj Parikit. Parikit consumed that nectar and made it sweeter again by extracting its essence for his mother, Uttara, a dialogue which culminated in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Not to be outdone, Rupa Goswami authored an abbreviated form of Brihad Bhagavatamrita entitled Laghu Bhagavatamrita. In the opening of Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami states, my endeavor is not useless because this work, being concise, is useful for the Vaishnavas who cannot access the Brihad Bhagavatamrita because of its length. Right? Because you have a volume, even though it's the essence, right? Then it's still, it may be long for some. And to take that length and then to be able to understand the principal points, then the Laghu Bhagavatamrita then shows what are those principal points. So we see it's very common that the acharyas, there's a major work that they've written, and then they write something short so that you're sure to catch the essence. Right? Like Rupa Goswami for the Nectar of Devotion, he wrote the Upadeshamrita. Right? That's why we put those together. Because Upadeshamrita is that of all this length of work, this is what you're essentially supposed to catch. Then everything expands from there. Right? Does that make sense? So like that, then he wrote the Laghu Bhagavatamrita to do that for the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Or Jiva Goswami doing his Harinamamrita Vyakarana, he wrote Laghu Harinamrita Vyakarana. You know, the essential verses for understanding grammar. And then Vishwanath, he wrote... what he called Bindu is even shorter of those for the Nectar Devotion. What else? Nectar Devotion? He wrote three of them.
Bhagavatamrita Kana.
So that means the essence of the Bhagavatamritas. And then Nectar Devotion, then who has the third one? Well, there was a Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. That's the Nectar Devotion. Bhagavatamrita Kana. I don't remember. But in other words, it's a common process that the acharyas use. Does that make sense? Then you understand, okay, now this is essence, and then you expand from there, and you add all the other information into that. So you know... Does that make sense? So it's like a skeleton for the work. Right? Srila Rupa Goswami took up the task of proving that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this fact is taken for granted. With that out of the way, the main question posed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is, in whom and in what realm is love for the Supreme Person most intimately known? Right? So does that make sense? So in whom means which devotees? And in what realm is love for the Supreme most intimately known? So what is the farthest reach of that process? And you see, as Lord Chaitanya, he had the same discussion with Ramananda Rai, yes. So there's always that element that you know that progression, and then where it finally, you know, is reposed. Does that make sense? So that's what Sanatana Goswami's question is. And then that is discussed between these two pastimes. Yeah, with Narad Muni and Gopakumar. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita is divided into two parts, Purva, preliminary, and Uttara, final, each consisting of seven chapters. Each section traces the path of a Parivijaka in search of the Absolute Truth. This first part is entitled Sri Bhagavat Kripa Sada Nidhara, the search for the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. It follows the itinerant preacher and saint Narad Muni on his quest to find the Lord's most beloved devotee. This journey takes him on a pilgrimage across the universe, including Earth, the upper planets, lower planets, Vaikuntha, and more. The plot unfolds in the same way classical Indian music develops themes, repeating them again and again with subtle embellishments. For instance, the same thing happens to Narad Muni over and over. He approaches someone who is supposed to be Krishna's most favored devotee, praises that person, is rebuked, then redirected to someone else.
Oh well.
In this cyclic repetition, the central theme of spiritual qualification is looked at from multiple viewpoints, each shedding additional light on the true nature of pure bhakti. Along the way, we are privy to the heart-rending humility of the devotees. Each one deprecates themselves, not from lack of self-esteem, but out of complete honesty, while simultaneously extolling the virtues of a devotee they admire. So you're going to have the aspect, since Krishna is unlimited, you could look at any angle and find glory. So that, therefore, the one devotee, even though he's experiencing from his angle, he will appreciate other devotees' angles and think, this is greater than what I have. You know, just like, let's say, the gopis. They're thinking the cowherd boys are much more fortunate than them because they can express their affection openly. They can walk with him and, you know, physically interact and laugh and joke right there in public in front of everybody, while they can't do that. So they'll consider they're greater. Does that make sense? Like that. Or, you know, or some, I'm not sure there's not some kind of a prayers to the kunja that Radha and Krishna are in, because the kunja gets to be there for all the pastimes.
Also this pastime where they're glorifying the flute because it's always with Krishna.
Yes, always with, yeah.
Sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. So like that, as you get these aspects. So that's what's happening. Right? But in the process, we are going through these levels of deeper and deeper intensity. It's not as such better meaning that one is lesser. It's just a matter of it's more intense. Right? It's not that. So, like Prabhupada gives the definition that Vaikuntha, he said, Dorkia, is perfect. Mathura is more perfect. Vrindavan's most perfect. So it's not that something has to be less. Right? In the material world, it's always, if something's better, something's less. You know, so you always have to look at that lesser part. Here it's no, it's, this is perfect, but there's something that's more perfect. There's something even more than that, because the perfection is this connection to Krishna. So that's always there. So you see this positive element, and that develops and goes all the way through until we get to the conclusion of their story. Although considered his magnum opus, Srila Sanatana Goswami denied credit for writing the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The true author, he stressed, was his Ishnadev, Sri Madan Mohan, who merely used him as a writing instrument. Sanatana Goswami did, however, take credit for Brihad Bhagavatamrita's commentary, the Digdarshani Tika. Even then, he was reluctant to identify himself with it out of concern that it might offend exalted Vaishnavas. Right? So the whole point is if you're establishing knowledge about the Lord's position, the devotee's position, and the position of devotional service, and that those moods that they have of interacting with each other, what's the nature of them, then you're establishing sambandha, right? Both the aspect of knowledge, shankarshan, and the aspect of attraction, right? Prajumna, right? So that is Madan Mohan. So he is the acharya of sambandha. So naturally then he'll see is that it's by the grace of Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, that he is appreciating this, that he is able to take part in this process. Because it's only by Krishna's grace. But, as Krishna points out, yes, he does everything. That's just who he is. But the real point for him is that who takes part, and whoever takes part, they're the hero. Right? Like Krishna already killed all the, you know, as we're in the Bhagavatam course, he's already killed everybody on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's already arranged that. So if nobody takes part, they still are going to die. You know, saying trip over their sword or something. You know, something that's going to happen. You know, so, yeah. But if Arjuna takes part, he'll become the hero of the battle and get the credit. So in the same way as you can say, Krishna is doing everything. But he likes that there is someone who takes part and is the hero of that. So in this case, it's Sanatana Goswami. Right? So it's not that they do nothing. They make the endeavor, and it's by Krishna's grace they do the endeavor, and it's through them that it gets done. Right? Does that make sense? Because if you're working within rasa, it's about the relationship and the endeavor within the relationship. Right? That's why Vasudeva is the prominent element. Right? Does that make sense?
Well, that's our mistake, that when we understand we're not the doer, we stop doing the effort.
Yes, we stop making the effort because it's just going to happen. Yes, it will happen. Someone else will become the, will get the credit. You know? And you can't come up and say, well, I thought of that 20 years ago. Great, okay, but you didn't do anything.
Then you're stupid, you didn't do it.
Yeah. Right? Because the person, it's the person who endeavors that's important. That's why Vasudeva is the prominent deity. Like Govindaji is the prominent deity. Is that? Okay. So this is Sanatana Goswami. How could I dare to enter into the inner chamber of Krishna's palace and judge who is a greater devotee than another? And in order to judge who is a greater devotee, you need to find defects and faults in the devotional service of Krishna's eternal associates like Rukmini, Satyabhama, and even Uddhava. Sanatana Goswami here reveals his own humility. There is no question of fault finding. The author's ultimate consideration is to help the reader gain appreciation for the uniqueness and glory of the Lord's most intimate devotees, the residents of Vrindavan. Right? Because there's no real problem because the residents of Vrindavan, they're the ones who expand into Dwarka and into Vaikuntha and into, you know, the demigods in the material world. So it's the same crew, you know, like that. So you don't really have to work. But what's important is to understand, because otherwise you'd be satisfied with it. You have to take it all the way back. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes. To write the essence, it's always good it's afterwards.
And it's presented more philosophically and more difficult, even though this one is in the form of stories and everybody can understand.
because then you know what's there, because the volume is short. But you have two elements of that. You have the reading and you have the studying, right? So naturally there's going to be, if you read the shorter one, then you have some general idea of what the greater one is. Having studied the greater one, then if you go back and study the short one, then you start to, again, put everything together. Then you get that aspect. Does that make sense? So it's just like, if you study the short grammar, then you have a general idea of grammar. But after studying the full grammar, then you can appreciate how the short grammar is the essence of the greater grammar. Does that make sense? So therefore, when you look at it, then you can go more deeply into it. The power of Brihadbhagavatamrita lies not in the logical arguments made by the devotee. Its power lies in the sincerity of their presentations, the qualities they exhibit, their capacity for self-criticism, the culture of respect they harbor for one another, examples of the takeaways the attentive reader can expect. Right, so then it's a matter of the association and culture and seeing how devotees deal. That's the important thing. Right? Because anything connected to Krishna, there is no defect. So the concept that there's a defect is only for dramatic effect, you know, within the pastime. Like we were saying, the gopis are feeling that they're don't have such a good position as the cowherd boys or as the flute, because they can always be with Krishna, right? So, but it's not actually a defect. But it'll be seen that way just because it enhances the mood, the relationship. But it's not. In the material world, there is a defect.
It's not connected to Krishna.
Because it's not connected to Krishna. When we connect it to Krishna, then there was the defect. So then that's why the Vaishnava etiquette, then one is based on appreciating the others. Right. So. Okay. The study guide excerpts and relies on the BBT edition of Brihadbhagavatamrita. We are again indebted to His Grace Gopi Puranadana Prabhu for His painstaking service of translating not only the text but the lengthy commentary as well. Readers are encouraged to read that work alongside the study for a deeper and more nuanced understanding. Brihadbhagavatamrita occupies a special place in the realm of Vaishnava literature. It is unparalleled in its delineation of Siddhanta, Rasa, Bhava, and Leela. Its glories are limitless and is without question one of the most beneficial books for the progressive sadhaka. Therefore, we humbly pray that the study guide will meet with the approval from the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava Das Anudas, the publisher. Sorry? Yes, no, it's based on the BBT. So his translations. And why there's another one?
Well, yeah, previously he's the first one that translated the Tika.
The Tika, yeah. But he also worked with, would have been Keshavardi Maharaj and Jayadwaita Maharaj for editing and that. And so then the smoothness of the language, the poetics and that. So that was the... That was the expertise of it. Okay. Yes.
So this book appears to be special for Gaudiyas because everybody else basically smokes it, like they don't go beyond.
Yeah, I mean your Nimbarkas, your Vallabhas, then they'll get into Dwarka, and they'll get into
Swakia.
Yeah. They'll get it, but yeah, you could say there's nobody, yeah. On one sense, you could say, if you're using the broadest term of Vaikuntha, then you could say yes, because only the Gaudiyas technically deal in Braj, in Gokul. Everybody else is dealing in lower Goloka, which means there's the element, some aspect of the majesty is there. It may get less and less and less, but there's still, that aspect. It doesn't have, because even you get up to the topmost where they're dealing in Raga Duga Bhakti, but they don't accept separation. So the intensity won't be as great. Because the separation generates the greatest intensity. And then because of that, then when one comes together, there'll be greater intensity. Like that. So each nourishes the other. If it's always, they're always together, it's going to be special. But it won't have the intensity that the other has. So that's the special. So then, because lower Goloka means that it will always have those aspects. There are other aspects of Vrindavan. You know, so there'll be aspects that are between Mathura and Braj. Does that make sense?
Yes. I have this doubt about Mathura, because basically what happens with Mathura is Mathura moves to Dwarka. When Mathura moves to Dwarka,
it's Dwarka.
Yeah.
But you see is that the means, now if you remember, it's like Krishna comes into Mathura.
Right.
And Krishna comes into Dwarka.
Yes.
There's much more majesty in Krishna Dwarka. Coming into Dwarka.
Yes.
Then there's, so Mathura, that sweetness is very great. You know, you have all the ladies on the top of the roofs and all their prayers and all these kind of things that are happening. So the sweetness is greater, but Krishna and Balaram walking into Mathura have four arms.
Yes.
So that's why it's a very kind of unique place, that it's not so. So Vrindavan is more clear. Dwarka is more clear. Mathura is kind of in the middle. So that's what I'm saying, is these other aspects, then they're all around these kind of areas. So some are directly more Dwarka, some are directly... like that. It means Madhva and Ramanuja are going to be Vaikuntha. So then that's very clear. But then the Vallabhas, then you have the aspect of the Vrindavan Rasa, but they're looking at the parental aspect. Like that. You know, it's just like in the Vallabha Sampradaya, then when you're dealing with Radha and Krishna, the pujari himself won't do the puja for Radharani. Because of the parental aspect, you don't deal with the girls. Therefore, the head pujari's wife, she deals with Radharani. You know, those kind of things. Because it's about parental rasa. Some of them may have that aspect of the conjugal, but the prominence in the sampradaya is about the parental. So there'll always be that connection, just like you see is that Radharani comes in, the affection showed by Mother Jashoda to her. She comes, she is assisting Mother Jashoda cooking for Krishna. Like that. She's coming there by the arrangement of Mother Jashoda. You know, so you'll have that aspect, because if you're dealing within the conjugal rasa, then you're dealing in the home environment. That home environment has a social seed. Right, so it's going to be centered around the women, and it's going to be centered around the senior women. Right, so the younger women are functioning in an environment of the senior. Does that make sense? So you can have both. You can have, it's not so they don't have a problem with the parental and the conjugal, but the parental is still going to be the prominent. Right, and then Nimbarkas, then it's about the conjugal. But so they're out in the kunjas, but they're always in the kunjas, no separation. So for them, the kunjas then have the prominence of the kunjas, they even have names. The kunjas, they have specific names. So therefore, specific times of the day, certain pastimes, because they have certain moods and all that. So that's all matched up. So it's kind of like the deity worship that we do on, but it's on the spontaneous platform. Right? So you're doing deity worship from the Raga Nuga platform. Right? Because you're always with the deities and making arrangements for different things and all that, so it's all going on. Right? So only in Braj then you have this element of separation. Is that so it's all there, it's all together, but there's slightly different flavors. So that's why we're very specific. Otherwise, then one can end up somewhere else. You have to be careful. It's not, you know, this idea, oh, it's all one place, and we're all just together, it's all just one big happy family. Not exactly. You know? Like that. You want to be in a specific place, you have to have that specific mood. Otherwise, you end up somewhere else. You know? It's all one place, but the manifestations of those interactions are all different. Right? There's unlimited devotees, and Radharani's, you know, her associates are a certain amount. So that means that you have this amount is in this manifestation of the pastime. Then another group is in another. So in that way, Goloka is the biggest of all the planets. It takes up 51% of the spiritual world. Right? So you're not really necessarily talking about Brahman in between like you are in Vaikuntha. You have the Brahma Jyoti, and then you have the planets. Here it's one planet, you know, so, you know, and it's so big. So that means all these different pastimes can come together for bigger pastimes. Because it's one place, but at the same time, they can also be happening in their own scene. You know, that's the advantage of no time and space. You know, like that. And so mood is very important. So this idea is that you just move around, shift around as you please. You know, it's just something looks like it's interesting happening here, you go there. Then it doesn't really work out. Because then you're going to be in different groups. Does that make sense? So that's why we respect all groups, but we are specific to our own. Okay. Yes?
Is correct to say that the Lord chooses a certain amount of giving, certain amount of jivas to partake in a particular rasa with the Lord, like for example?
Means are there quotas?
Yeah.
So then there's one spot left and three devotees who want it. So then, yeah. Or do they have a lottery, or do they, you know, they thumb wrestle, you know, whatever. Huh? Yeah, rock paper.
Sometimes it may look like that. Yeah,
no, but it's unlimited. The spiritual world is constantly growing, so there's plenty of space. You don't have to worry about that. You have to worry about qualifying yourself to be there. That's the problem. If there's going to be any space, you don't have to worry about that.
This is simply like a big gap between the one who can be a Vaishnava, cultivate the mood of Braj,
yeah,
and the other one, like Nimbarka or Sri Sampradaya, they go to Vaikuntha. So it's, how is that? Is that because the Lord is...
No, it's just because that's their mood. Because he is the Lord, so he is rasa, so all these different aspects of rasa are there. So because he is rasa, then there's naturally going to be associates who appreciate that particular rasa. You know, like Prabhupada mentions, the manifestation of Arjuna is only within the Lord's pastimes within the material world. Right? In the spiritual world, you don't have Arjuna. He's only within the Lord's pastimes here. So because the Lord's always engaged in his dwarka pastimes within the material phenomena, then Arjuna's always there with him. Right? So they go together. But, you know, so it's a matter of a mood. And so then you have all these unlimited aspects to taste these different... Even within Vaikuntha, you have the 24 Vishnus. That means there's a slight flavor difference in each of the 24. Right? Therefore, there's devotees that have a taste for that particular flavor. They're in that particular Vaikuntha planet. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's not a problem. It's Yogamaya's good. She can work it out. She's a good manager. She's been managing since time immemorial, and she'll be managing for even more time again. So she's good. You don't have... Does that make sense?
Is that a living entity at the beginning of time, and before the falling into the material, keep that pace or keep that move that is going to eventually come up?
Means when you get purified.
Yeah.
See, because the mood and the spirit, that's covered. Then it's by the devotional process as a secondary element, it uncovers that mood. Right? Because the devotional process is actually the expression of the mood. Right? Like we're saying, Mother Yashoda has a particular rati or attraction to Krishna. Right? And so then that attraction is expressed through the devotional service. Right? So devotional service is to express the mood of devotion. Now, we don't have that mood of devotion, but we're performing devotional service. Right? So, therefore, says devotional service for expressing that prema, but we don't have it, so as a side effect of devotional service, will we get purified where we come to the point of prema. But that's not the actual main quality of devotional service. The main is the expression of love. Right? We're looking at it, well, no, that's the big thing to get there, and then after that you'll be in prema. But if you look at it, how long are we here getting from Shraddha to prema? And how long are we on the platform of prema? Right, so on the platform of prema is eternal, and from now to come to that platform, there's a short amount of time. Therefore, that's a side effect of devotional service. It's not the primary. Does that make sense? So simply all that's happened is this one's devotional service has been, natural position has been covered. Right? One never obtained it. Otherwise, obtaining prema, you're not going to fall down. Right? But we never obtained that. But its potential is there. So it becomes covered. Then by devotional service, that becomes uncovered. And then we, because now we've, you know, how you say? Once burnt, twice shy. You know this one? No. You don't have a saying like that? Stick your finger in the fire, you're not going to do it again. You don't have something like that?
Oh yeah, that
one. Yeah, you understand? Yeah, everybody's got something, right? You know, maybe in Australia it's not a fire, it's a crocodile, you know,
once
mouth.
Bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, once bitten, twice shy. Yeah, you know, you don't mess with the crocodile. So, you understand? It's the same. There's the same principle, is that having come here and come back to the liberated platform, you're going to look at the material world from a whole different perspective. You know, it's not options. It's like, you know, been there, done that. You know?
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes?
I remember hearing a class where Srila Prabhupada was discussing this point, and he said, you always have free will. You could go back. But no one wants to.
Yeah, no one wants to. Yeah, that's the point, is that you could. Technically, you could, by mathematical calculation, but no one does. Like that. So therefore, that's why it's said, one never falls from the platform of prema, because no one ever does it. There's no history of anybody doing it. But technically, you could, but, you know what I'm saying? Just like I could go to the temple room, and bring, you know, one of those, how you say, 2.5 kilo hammers. And I could stand there and, you know, announce that anybody who would like to come and hit themselves over the head with this hammer is free to come and, you know, with no charge can use the hammer. There's a good chance no one's going to come forward. But it is a possibility someone could, but no one does. You know, or as an alternative, you could drop it on your foot. You know, that's probably going to get even less takers, right?
Okay.
was just thinking of Subhadra Goswami. Since he's in the Shantaras, Manseta is appreciating and describing the topmost rasa in the Lord in the 10th canto. How come he's not, it's for him to develop that higher rasa? I mean, is that possible since he's in Goloka?
No, there's no need. He's satisfied. It means whatever it is that you like, you're satisfied. So it's the point is how would Braj go on if everybody was in the conjugal rasa? Right? Yeah, you know. And, you know, it wouldn't work out so good. Yeah.
Cows are hard to dance
with. Yeah. Yeah, and if they step on your toes. Yeah, I guess because the ankle is also the... Oh, no, you could probably do it. You do see in the pictures. I think that goes up in this thin... There's a thin place where you could put ankle bells. Yes.
Hoof bells.
Hoof bells, yes. Hoof bells. Does that make sense? So it's like this. Okay. Let us try to put this one to rest. Okay? Now, you have a kunch, right? Radha Krishna in the kunch. Now, the gopis, having made all the final arrangements and all that, are going to leave the kunch, right? So basically, no one's necessarily there. Maybe someone's fanning or this or that. But at some point, everybody's going to go to bed. Okay, so there's no one there to see the pastimes. The intimate pastimes that are happening when no one's there. Okay? Now, if a boy and a girl are sitting together very intimately, do they care if there's some bird sitting on a branch? Are they worried? Oh, the birds are watching. You know? Says that. Who cares for the birds? Says, I never saw Alfred Hitchcock caring for the birds. These guys, you know, are dangerous. You know? Yeah? Is it a problem? No. Okay, so now the next morning, those birds, they tell everybody what happened in the kunja. Okay, getting better now? Okay, so one of those birds is called Sukha. Make some connections now? Okay. Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, in Govardhan, there's a kund called Naradakund where they immersed Narada Muni in the water and he got a gopi kund.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Because everybody ultimately goes back to somebody. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, because you see the gopis are situated, you have the yoga peet with Radha Krishna in the middle, and then you start out from there, from the east, and go around, and every gopi has their position. But when you come down to the Vastu Mandala, it's the same division. So those qualities at each of those directions and whoever's there, the demigods or the lower forms that have, they're getting their power from those original yoga peak. You know what I'm saying? It just goes from there down to Mathura, down to Dwarka, down to Vaikuntha, down to the demigods like this. So it's the same principle. Because the point is Krishna is always the center. And when Krishna's manifesting his full mood of rasa, then you have the yoga pit in Braj. When you're dropping that a bit, then it'll be in Dwarka. You're dropping it more in Vaikuntha, dropping it more, then it's with the demigods. Does that make sense? So you're always going to have the same thing. So that's why for us, we can read all the way through. We don't have a problem with it. Like that. But for most, they get stuck in the demigod goes here and this one goes there and they can't, they get distracted. But it's not about who's on the outside, it's who's on the inside. That's the important thing. But everybody's going, no one's worried about who's on the inside. The Vastu wall is, no one talks about who's on the inside, they only talk about who's on the outside. And even that, they're not really worried about the personalities that control those. They're just worried about where you stick the bedroom. That's all. Does that make sense? It's just like Agni. Who would who would you think of would be as a natural, good friend and ally of demigods? Vayu, right? Because fire burns with air. Okay? So they're in opposite corners, right? Because, and the wind blows through that way. Right? If there's a really strong manifestation of wind, it comes from the northwest. It goes to the northeast. Right? So therefore, that's why you can put a kitchen in both places. Okay? Now, let us say the wood's in the fire, and it's fireplace, and it's burning. Okay? A certain amount of wood is used. What happens if I start fanning the fire? It burns more. I use more wood. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, if you put a kitchen in Vayu's corner, you'll expend more money. Doesn't mean you'll waste more money. It means you'll spend more money. Because what's also in that corner? That's the guest corner. You understand? So you spend more money in your kitchen because you'll be taking more care of guests and like this. So some will go, oh, it's bad to put it in that corner, it'll be more expensive. Others, it's not a problem because, hey, we like taking care of guests. You understand? So that's how it works. You understand? So it's because of people. And then be above this, because as we remember from Manu, is the demigods are there on that second level of goodness, passion of goodness. But above them are the nakshatras, who are goodness of goodness. So actually the positions, it's the nakshatras that are the actual important element. But people think it's all the other. It's that the point is they're there. Why is it that house does what it does, or that zodiac sign does? It's because of the nakshatras. You understand? Because how is it you're going to use this? How are you going to be affected? It's through your mind. Who controls the mind? The moon. Who controls the moon? The nakshatras. You understand? So it's all personal. But we generally just take the rules and regulations and deal with them that they're not personal. It's just about the effect that it has. So we don't really get into the technical points.
This is changing as we go from Vaidhi to Raganuga. This mentality also changes?
It needs to change because the means, in other words, the rag element will be limited until one fully appreciates the personal. In other words, you might like going to Mangal Arati because you feel good, but it really is, that's just a budding of rag, because it has to be, you like going to Mangal Arati because you like seeing the Lord. Yeah. Seeing the Lord first thing in the morning, singing for the Lord, dancing for the Lord, this kind of thing. Yeah, being seen, his beauty, all these different aspects. Yeah, does that make sense? Yes. So that's what you're looking for. But that you have, you know, in other words, you know, the devotee comes in contact with the halava and he loves it. That is a spontaneous element, because it's said, rag means where you express affection without the encumbrance of the intelligence in between. You just do it because you like it, rather than doing it because, oh, okay, this is what should be done. And yeah, that's how it's defined. Right? So therefore, it is rag, but it's only rag for halava. You know, and only when you're hungry. Once you're full, not so much. Here, okay. If we get technical here, yes, there is the satisfaction of knowing that the other half of the bucket of halava is stashed away in your closet there. Yes, like that. But it's not that you're absorbed in thinking about it at the time.
I don't know.
Okay, then we're on a more advanced platform of rag here. Yeah. But then but then there's the element of Krishna is the halava. So is it about Krishna as the halava, or is it about the amount, volume of ghee and sugar as the halava?
Something like some mixes there.
Yes, some mix. Okay, see, then there's potential,
yeah.
Right? But you understand it, so then it just continues. That's the thing. Yes. But the rasa is a detail of something bigger. Like when we talk about Vaikuntha, what's the overall mood there? Majesty, right? Like that. But when you go to Vrindavan, then it's sweetness. Okay? So, and then within that aspect of sweetness, because you do have sweetness, you know, aspects in Dwarka and Mathura. But it's sweetness on that platform of spontaneity, where it's just about expressing one's affection for Krishna. Right? It's just about Krishna. It's not about the forms used. It's not about the greatness. You know, it's not about that he's God. Because in Dwarka, they know he's Paramatma. Right? Like that. You see Devaki, your prayers, and that they know he's the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, there's that mix of sweetness, affection of that he's the Son. Right? So they go back and forth. But in Braj, it's like it doesn't matter if he's the Supreme Person. What matters is that their affection. Does that make sense? So that's what's meant. You have to start there. Because everyone in Braj has that mood. Then there's the rati or taste, you know, that, or the specific attachment that they have for Krishna in one of the five rasas. Does that make sense? So the specific rasa, that's a detail within Braja Bhakti. That's why the term is there, Braja Bhakti. So you have to develop that flavor. Then there's the detail then is within that. Right, so Shravana Dasa means understanding the position of Braj. Varna Dasa, that's specifics within that. You understand? So it's not that I have to figure out, well, am I peacock in Vrindavan or like that. That's not, the point is you figure out what's the mood of that full surrender of the residents of Vrindavan. That's what we're endeavoring for. The other just comes with time, right? It's just like this. You have a young girl. She's being trained. Okay? So, what do you start with? How to be a properly behaved person? How to be a properly behaved girl? No? Then, a detail of that is how to function as a wife. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the principle of being a good girl, that functions whether she's a daughter, she's a wife, she's a mother, she's a friend. On all these levels, it functions. Does that make sense? So in other words, you have to know what the generic element is. That's the point. That's what we're meaning. So here is that you have to understand is that we're talking about Braj, not Vaikuntha, not Dwarka, not Mathura. But we have no problems with it because they're all expansions of Braj. So it's all the Lord's pastimes. They're all manifest because of Krishna's Icha Shakti. Right? Does that make sense? But the fullest manifestation of that Icha Shakti is Braj. Is that okay? Okay, part one, Sri Bhagavat Kripa Sar Nidhara, finding the essence of the Supreme Lord's mercy. So then this goes through many, many elements here. We have the, how you say? Bauma on the earth. So this is Narad Muni, right? Yeah. And then we go through the, how you say? You have this for each chapter? This is... Each one, yeah. The beginning of the chapter, okay. Okay. So he's on the earth, then from the earth goes to heaven, then beyond the material world, then the devotee, the beloved, the most beloved, and Purna, the complete perfection. Okay, so in chapter 1, the Bauma on the earth. So verse breakdown. We have Mangalacharan, the invocation, the ancient history of this work, 12 through 14. Uttara inquires from her son, Parikit, 15 through 23. Right, they've just had 7 days of discussion, and so now she wants to know what's the essence of all this. Right? Yeah. Right? So it's standard. Right? Yeah, yeah. No, it's just standard how it works. You know. Okay. Said all that fancy talk. Now, what does it really mean?
What's the point?
Yeah. Like that.
She didn't hear for 7 days. She wasn't there at home.
That we don't know.
It's easier just coming afterwards and then. So. What?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Get the recording.
Then worshipping Lord Madhava at Prayag, Narada praises the Prayag Brahmana. The Brahmana refutes Narada's praise. The Brahmana sends Narada to the southern king. Right, this is the pattern that the publishers were discussing here. Narada visits the southern kingdom, right, but it's always connected to Krishna, so therefore it's not a problem. You know, it's not that he walks in and goes, okay, now I've heard that you're the topmost, but now you're not going to refute this and send me off to someone else, are you? You know, because if you are, can you just tell me where to go and we can miss out on all this emotional, you know, drama here? You know, yeah, yeah. If Narada Muni was from New York, this is probably how it would unfold, right? Like that, yeah. But fortunately, he's not. Okay, Narada visits the southern kingdom. Narada praises the southern king. The king refutes Narada's praise. The king directs Narada to the demigods. The king points out Indra is the best demigod. So that's the first 76 verses. So Mangalacharan, invocation. The following is an overview of the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita's 11 verse Mangalacharana. 1. Sri Chaitanya. 2. Sri Radhika. 3. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. 4. Sri Mathura Devi, Sri Brajabhumi, Sri Jamuna Devi, Sri Govardhan, Sri Krishna Prema Bhakti Devi, Sri Harinam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and Sri Guru. Or Sri Guru. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya features 3 times here. The above talk compromises Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana of spiritual perfection. The Supreme Lord, his intimate consorts, their field of activities, the ultimate goal, and the means of attainment. The Vastu Nirdeshatmaka, or subject matter of this book, is stated explicitly in the 11th verse, Bhagavad Bhakti Shastranamayam Sharasya Sangraha. It is the distilled essence from the Vedic literature of the pure science of rendering loving service to the Supreme Person. In this respect, one should note that the following Mangalacharan does not simply enumerate a series of places or concepts, rather it glorifies devotees, the most intimate of Krishna's associates. In so doing, the remaining functions of a Mangalacharan are fulfilled. It offers obeisances to respectable persons, namaskriyatma, with the prayer of attaining their favor, ashir vadatmaka. So he's showing all this in connection with relationship. Because otherwise you might just technically get those points across. Like you see some Mangalacharans, they just exactly get these points across in a very nice way, Sanskritan, very clear and exact. But you generally see the Acharyas when they do, these Mangalacharans extend it. Most people do it in one verse. But they'll extend it in many verses to bring out all these different aspects in the poetics and everything. Because it's about the relationship. Because it's about Krishna. He's the ultimate goal. But now, what aspect of discussing Krishna? And therefore, if we're discussing various aspects, it means there must be some devotees that are involved. Because you don't have Krishna alone. Right? Because if you're talking about, let's say, Ayurveda, then you don't necessarily have to bring out about Krishna and his associates. to just get down to that word. But technically, it would be valuable if you could take it back. Right? But the whole, because the whole point is, if, no, oh,
yeah.
I'm just thinking, it's like hateful speech or something. So, where does medicine come in? The spiritual world, when someone has a particular ecstatic manifestation that gets too extreme, then there's some medical process to bring them back to their normal state. Does that make sense? So, in the material world, if someone's health goes off, there's an imbalance. Right? You're trying to bring them back to the normal state in which they are going to perform their normal activities. And as the Veda points out, what's normal activity? Devotional service. So that's the whole point of the Ayurveda, is to keep the health so there's balance so you can perform devotional service. So if you actually understand the person, it'll make it much more clear. But most people don't, so they just take that aspect, right? So in that, the acharyas, when they'll do their mangalacharans, many times then they'll be longer, and they'll bring out all these different devotional aspects, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think he has a 17-verse mangalachar. And he spends a good portion of the Adi Lila explaining it. You know, up to the point of the pastimes. All the chapters before, when he describes, in essence, the Lord's pastimes of the Adi Lila. Because his point is those have been discussed by in Chaitanya Bhagavat in detail. So he only has to give a synopsis, you know, and anything, other detail that may not have been brought out. But before that, all the chapters are simply explaining his mangalacharan. So actually, it's not only it's 17 verses, it's actually many chapters. Like that. So because then you want to be able to see all the connections to Krishna, Krishna's position. Because we're saying Krishna is the... What does that mean, Krishna? We're saying devotee. What does that mean, devotee? Devotional servant, what does that mean? Is that... Yeah. So the acharyas don't want to leave anything to chance here. Because, like we said, chance, you may end up somewhere else. You know. Like somebody walks into a bus station, you know. You know, they don't necessarily know where they're going, or all they know is they're supposed to get on a bus. You know, it's maybe a problem. One. Okay, so then the first verse. All glories to that inconceivable Lord who descended to bestow the gift of perfect love for his own lotus feet. He is an ocean filled with many kinds of sweetness, and he always bears the fragrance of fresh youth. In his form as Sri Chaitanya, he has realized the last extreme of transcendental experience, the love residing eternally in the gopis. Right? The last extreme, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't continue from there, but that particular category is the last category. And then that in itself is unlimited. This invocatory verse explains that Sri Krishna descends to earth in order to, quote, bestow the gift of perfect love for his own lotus feet, end quote. The Lord bestows many boons, including material enjoyment and liberation. But the greatest gift he has to offer is pure love for himself. Right? So point is if he's offering pure love for himself, what does that mean? What's going to happen? If Krishna gives the devotee pure love, then what will happen? Right? There'll be interaction. So what does that mean? And Krishna says, as you surrender, I reciprocate. So that means that intensity of the love of that devotee, and in that category, that's how Krishna is going to respond. Does that make sense? So that's why then Krishna is careful about who he gives what. Because technically it means he's giving himself.
So we have to deal properly.
Yes. So that means when our mood has come to that platform, then he can reciprocate. It's not that he doesn't want to work on that platform. Otherwise, why is Goloka so big? You know what I'm saying? The whole material world is one quarter of the spiritual world. Right? And that, there's unlimited universes. And within the universes, we discuss the size. It's actually quite small inside. And in there, there's 14 planetary systems. So the jiva is going to be situated somewhere there. So you're dealing a very minimal place. So spiritual world is three quarters of that. But more than 51% of that, that's Goloka. Yeah. So that's the prominence. Because we look at, oh, there's so Vaikuntha, this, that, then there's Braj. But Braj is still the biggest of all the manifestations. Because it's the original. How does he do this specifically? By revealing a sweetness, form, and charming pastimes. However, only a select few were able to see Krishna, and even fewer were privy to his most confidential activities. As Lord Chaitanya, the same Lord Sri Krishna, descends to experience and exhibit the true nature of prema bhakti, and distribute this rarest of treasures even to the fallen and wretched. The first volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is an interplanetary quest to uncover once and for all who is the foremost recipient of the Lord's mercy. It is clearly not a suspense novel, for the secret is revealed right here in the first verse. Krishna's most beloved devotees are the gopis. Hence, Sanatana Goswami's novel begins with the conclusion. He proclaims that the last extreme of transcendental experience, Padama Dasantam, resides eternally in the hearts of the gopis. In Adi Purana, Sri Krishna states, O Prince Arjuna, Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi are not as dear to me as the gopis. I am attached to many devotees on this earth, but I hold the gopis dearer than my own life. O conqueror of enemies, sages, yogis, Shiva, and the devatas do not know me as much as the gopis know me. Adi Purana, quoted in Laghu Bhagavatamrita 2.1, 35-37. As will be demonstrated, the gopis know Krishna better than Krishna knows himself. Therefore, it is fitting to invoke their mercy to initiate this work about Krishna bhakti.
Right, because it's not like it's a secret. This is also just a difference in, because it's about Krishna. So, being about Krishna, then we want to get down to the essence and discuss about Krishna. So it's not that there's something being hidden. It's not about the taste of revealing something. Right? In other words, the devotee is discussing in a certain way according to what can be revealed. You know what I'm saying? But much of the time, a storyteller is telling something and holding back on something and just drawing out from the audience and getting all the different tastes, so they just are dying to know who it is, and they have to say before they get hit over the head with a baseball bat or something because they're dragging it out too long. Right? So, you know, that's there. So there's a taste in that. But this is not that. This is not the mundane taste of how you can control and get everybody excited. This is how you can get everyone inspired and absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Right? Same principle, but opposite motives. So one is you're starting with the conclusion, then it's how does you get there? You know what I'm saying? It's just like this, which, if you look at it as far as actual effect goes. Okay, now there's two ways I could go about this. I want to show you something, so I cook this nice preparation, right? Sit you down, you eat it, and then you go, wow, this is fabulous, how did you make it? Okay, now I'll show you. Or I could start talking about this fabulous preparation and then going on about this and that and bringing out, and, you know, the saffron's from here and this is from there and, you know, just, you know, getting it until, you know, you kind of have a, how you say, the medical problem, how you say, what do you call it? Medical condition, you know, like a bulldog, right? You know, like that, you know, slobbering all over, you know, and just drag it out. And then you have to go through the whole thing, you go through cooking it, and finally, you know. So that's how the materialist likes to do it. But the Gaudiyas, then they start with, here's what we're getting to. Now this is how we get there.
Yes. Because the materialist doesn't really have any taste, so to make it seem like there is anything,
fluff it up a bit. Yeah. Yes, that's the problem. Yes.
It's interesting that in Bhagavatam, the first verse, it is Epperson.
Yes.
It's all in
there. Yes, yes.
And so, then it just unfolds.
Yeah. That's why Jaimini says that in the Vedic method, you know, in general, but no one does it as well as the Gaudiyas, is that you can take the first verse and the last verse, or the opening and closing, whatever it is, however many verses, and from that you can understand what's the essence of the whole work. Because the point is, if you don't know what you're looking for, how do you analyze what you're studying? You know, but that's the difficulty. No, that'll come later, and they drag it on for, you know, 20 years before they start, you know, explaining to you actually what's going on. You know, and then according to, once you get to the postgraduate level, technically anything you did before graduation was a waste of time. But they somehow or another still want you to waste your time for 20 years before they'll tell you what's actually going on. You know, so that's a...
It's a business.
It's a business, yeah. Getting down to the essence here. Okay. Yeah.
Like the circus, where they go in, get slapped, and come out again.
Oh, yeah. That, I thought you were talking about where they sit there. You see on the side of the road, is there somebody there going to do something, and they move back and forth, and the drum roll, and they're moving more.
Everybody's kind of
come do it, anything. You saw? Yeah. They really, really drag it out.
Yeah.
Finally, they do something. And
go for it.
Yeah. Kinds of things falling here, all happenings. I'm just wondering, it's all from the light. Too. Okay, so that's an important point. Is the essence is already given? Then it's now expanding it to, because it is essence. That means it has a whole lot behind it. But at least you know what you're looking for. Then when it expands, then you can appreciate it. Right? Because otherwise, if you don't know where you're going, you can't really appreciate the journey. But if you already know, then it can be brought out. Because the other one, it's great for surprising, but appreciating, then there's the whole process. You know what I'm saying?
In all the Vaishnava books, the essence is more or less the same.
Yes, but you're bringing out different aspects of it. Since Krishna is like here, bringing out, you know, who is the topmost devotee? You know, what is that position, that greatest of intimacy that there is there? Because here we're taking topmost as the intensity and the intimacy is greater, right? Because we're looking at it from rasa, then the conjugal rasa is the adi rasa, and then who is the original of that? Who can manifest the fullest amount? It means, in other words, Krishna being rasa, that means whatever unlimited aspects there are in the conjugal rasa, he is that. So who is that personality that can reciprocate that? Or what's the another term? Would be not companion, not compatible. That they know all the anything that Krishna's desire, they know how to fulfill it. I'm not sure it is. Yes, okay? Does that make sense? So, who is that personality? Because he is rasa, so all these different things coming down are all there. So, as long as it's connected to him in pure devotion, it is rasa. But then it goes up.
Compatible?
Yeah, you could say. Compatible, but that's the other thing.
Counterpart,
yeah. That would be counterpart. There's a whole bunch of synonyms in there. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says moviti. You know, it means it's the other half, means, you know, you have two halves within a whole. You know, the two make the whole. So Radha and Krishna make the Supreme Absolute Truth. Like that. Is that okay? Yes.
In ISKCON, and
a lot of devotees in ISKCON. Is that what you said? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So, does it mean that if we follow our parampara and still we have our own desires and everything, does it mean that for all these ISKCON devotees, the destination would be Goloka Vrindavana?
That's what's being offered. But you can. It's just like this. If a bus is going to Calcutta, it's very easy to get off at Runagat.
So we may choose, but the highest gift we go through our parampara, yes?
Yes. Means that, that's what's being offered. So that's you. That's so if that's interesting, then you take that. If it's not interesting, then you don't.
But can you comment more on this? Because the Goloka Vrindavana is the highest, shall we, by association with the devotees, shall we just go for the best? Can you say more?
The point is that you take part in the process because one is trying to understand Krishna's position and develop love for him. Right? So how that's going to be manifest, that will come naturally with time. Does that make sense?
What is your relationship with Krishna, and then you will understand what place you belong.
Yes, but you don't have to worry about that now. You just have to worry about... Because the point is you can't function on that platform unless you are, fully purified. So the point is to get fully purified. Does that make sense? So we don't have to worry separately about that. Is that okay? Yeah. 2. All glories above all to the gopis. Oh, it means all glories above all means
more than anything else.
Okay, all glories above all to the gopis. Okay. Headed by Sri Radhika, who are famous as the Lord's dearmost devotees. No one can even begin to properly describe the charm of their supreme affection for Sri Hari. Did we miss this footnote? Where was the footnote?
Only you know, Maharaj.
Oh, you don't know. Yeah, oh, I see. There seems to be a footnote missing here.
It might just be an absent footnote, a ghost footnote.
Ah, okay. Oh, here it is. One can achieve the supreme favor of the personality of Godhead only by pleasing his devotees. There's the footnote. Footnote 1. Those hypocritical people who, having worshipped Govinda, do not worship his devotees, do not get the mercy of Vishnu. Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, 1676. Okay. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, right? So it's by pleasing the devotees you get the Lord's mercy. So we're asking, it's only by getting the Lord's mercy, but that means it's by pleasing the devotees. So that's the essential point. So playing down the position of devotees is never a recommended path. One has to be very careful about that. Like that. Does that make sense? So, you know, this modern concept of equality doesn't actually work. It may work in certain circles, but as far as actually getting anywhere, either in the material or spiritual world, it's basically useless. Like that. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Sri Radhika is the best, and therefore her name is mentioned first. So wonderful is the love of the gopis that Krishna himself does not have the words to describe it. He himself tells the gopis. Naparayeham niravadya sam yujam swasadu krityam vibhujya yusha pivaha ya ma bhajan dur Jarad Geha Shrim Kala Samvrishchaya Tadva Prati Yatu Sadhuna. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.32.22. Since even Krishna lacks adequate words or deeds to do justice to the gopi's affection, the doubt may arise, how then can this love be described? The next verse answers. 3. Realizing that the ecstasy of his beloved devotees is even sweeter than his own. Out of greed, the Lord descended to this world in the form of his own devotee. Dressed as a renunciate, golden in effulgence, he bears the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. All glories to that Lord Hari who has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. Among devotees, the superlative position of the gopis is generally considered self-evident and beyond any need to prove. Sri Chaitanya, however, comes to prove it. He manifests in himself the ecstatic move of the gopis and their ever-increasing love for Sri Krishna. He personally experiences that what Krishna was unable to describe, and then reveals this experience to his followers. Therefore, to grasp the hidden glories of Krishna and his most intimate associates is not a hopeless endeavor. By appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord made his special mercy readily obtainable. Being a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya, Sanatana Goswami has directly experienced this truth. Hence, it will not be difficult for him to describe it for our benefit, and there are no grounds for doubt. Yes. So then Krishna himself, because he can't himself explain it, then he comes himself to taste that, because it's greater than what he tastes. So then that is what's being offered. So the taste of the devotees then is greater than the Lord. So the taste of the greatest devotee, then that will be the greatest taste.
Enjoy is better than enjoying.
Yes.